Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
A few years ago, I was helping out on a youth camp, and it was after lights out, and I needed to brush my teeth, and I didn't want to disturb the others, so I thought, well, I'll brush my teeth in the dark. I mean, how hard can it be? I squeezed the tube onto my brush, did a little rinse under the tap, started scrubbing, and it was all I could do to stop myself from vomiting. Because it turns out I was brushing my teeth with athlete's foot cream. Because it was dark. And I fumbled round in my wash bag and I picked the wrong tube. And that's what happens when it's dark. You can't see what you're doing. You get things wrong. When it's dark, you stumble. When it's dark, you lose your way. When it's dark, you get scared. And Christmas is for people who are in the dark. That verse from the Bible we read together was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. It was about people, do you remember, walking in darkness, living in a land of deep darkness. That the prophet Isaiah, he's warning God's people that the Assyrian army is on its way to invade them. Their world has become a dark place. And I think we know something of how they feel. The pandemic has forced us to face the darkness of our world. "I can't breathe," cries George Floyd as a police officer kneels on his neck. And the pandemic slowed us down just enough to notice the racial injustice. Slowed us down just enough to notice how divided our world is, how some people are overworked, others out of work, how some people are totally zoomed out, others have got no access to the sort of technology that would keep them connected. Some people stockpiling, others going hungry. Do you remember the vicar from Burnley on the news weeping at the sight of children ripping open the food parcels he was delivering? In lockdown, cases of domestic violence surged. Child abuse soared. And maybe you have been shocked at what lockdown has revealed about the darkness in your own heart. How you lost your temper with people you love. How you did things you wish you could undo. You said things you wish you could unsay. Or maybe it was the loneliness of lockdown. The loneliness that took you to some very dark places in your mind. But most of all, the pandemic has forced us to face the darkness that we fear more than anything else, the utter darkness of death. And maybe this Christmas will be your first Christmas without someone you love, and you're dreading it. In Isaiah's day, it says that God's people were enraged. They said, "Why is this happening to us? Why this darkness?" And Isaiah's answer was, because this is what life is like when you turn your back on God. God's people had said, "Hey, we don't need God. We can do life without God." The truth is, they can't. And the Assyrian army is on its way, and the Assyrian army coming to invade them made them realize just how small and how helpless they were. And friends, aren't we just like them? We say, we don't need God. And we have been told that is an enlightened thing to say. But it's plunged us into darkness. Because God is the light of the world. He's the one who makes sense of who we are, of why we are here, of how to live. And without him, the world is a dark place. We can't see what we're doing. We get things wrong. We stumble. We lose our way. We get scared. And the pandemic has made us realize how small and how helpless we are. And you say, "Hold on, Mike, hold on, one mini moment here. This is not very Christmassy, really, is it? This is not very ding-dong merrily on high, frankly." Friends, Christmas is for people walking in darkness. You will never get the true meaning of Christmas until you get why you need Christmas in the first place. And friends, we need Christmas because we're in the dark. But do you remember what the prophet said? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Into our dark world, light has come. And do you remember how the reading went on? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Why? For to us a child is born. To us, a son has been given. Do you see, light has come because a baby has been born. And of course, it sounds like Isaiah's gone all Disney on us. I mean, sure, babies have the power to make us glad and kind of lift our hearts and lighten our spirits, but power to light up a whole world of darkness? Well, this baby does. Because this baby is not just another human being lost in the dark like the rest of us, small and helpless like the rest of us. Isaiah says this baby is called Mighty God. And 700 years after this prophecy, in the reign of Caesar Augustus, in a small town just south of Jerusalem, the one who made the starry skies was born as a wriggling baby. Look at that baby. Look at Jesus. And here's what you see. What you see is that the God whom we have walked away from has come after us. He has stepped into our darkness to lead us back into light. Do you remember a couple of years ago, that Thai football team of young boys trapped in the cave? Do you remember that? It was after football practice one evening. They were exploring the caves. I think it was one of them that had a birthday, and they were kind of celebrating. While they were inside the caves, floodwater rose and blocked their way out. They were trapped underground 2.5 miles from the entrance of the cave. They had some water, but no food. They huddled together on a ledge. They had no contact with the outside world. They just waited. For over a week, they waited. And then one day, in the cave in front of them, they see the light of a head torch. Can you imagine how that felt? To see that light there? Two divers had made their way through the narrow passages and the muddy water to track them down. You can look it up. There's an amazing photo of the light of their torches shining on these boys' faces. Can you see how that light shining changed everything? How that light gives them hope. Hope that their days in the darkness will end. Hope that they will step out into the sunshine of a bright new day. And friends, that is why we celebrate Christmas. The birth of Jesus is like that light in that cave. It changes everything. It means our days in darkness will come to an end. And we will step out into the sunshine of a bright new day. And I don't know what you think about that. I guess it feels a little slippery. What does it actually mean? What difference does the birth of Jesus actually make to our lives today? Well, of course, Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up. And Matthew is one of the people who writes a gospel, a biography of Jesus. And at one point, Matthew quotes this section from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah names some of the places that are plunged into darkness, Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee. And Matthew writes about Jesus going to these places, to Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee. And he quotes Isaiah and he says, "See? Just like Isaiah promised, light has come to Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee. Light has come. Why? Because Jesus has come. Jesus is here." So you want to see the difference that Jesus makes to our lives? Watch him. Watch him as he goes round Zebulun and Naphtali and Galilee. Look how he brings light to people who are in the dark. Watch him as he teaches people who don't know who they are or why they are here or how to live in this world. And he says, "Look at me," and you see God. You see the light that makes sense of who you are. You're empty on the inside, I will satisfy. You're weary to the bone, I've come to give you deep rest for your soul. Because life with me is life in all its fullness. It's the life you were created for. What do you make of claims like that, teaching like that? Watch him as he heals the lame, the blind, and lepers. Nothing any doctor could do for them. He just speaks a word, and they see, and they get up, and they walk, and they dance. Watch him as he puts broken lives back together again. And all around the world, that is what he is still doing today. Lives that have got hurt and broken in the darkness. And Jesus Christ, the one who made us, is remaking us. Watch him. Watch him as he forgives. How he seeks out people who are weighed down by the guilt of what they've done. And he forgives them. And there are people here today who will tell you how when he forgives you, he sets you free, changes your heart, gives you power to live a new life. And friends, watch him. Watch him as he conquers death. I wonder how you feel about the vaccine. The headlines are telling us, here is hope. Here is light at the end of the tunnel. And in a very limited sense, maybe, I get that, but you know the vaccine won't change anything, don't you? You know it won't end injustice. It won't stop domestic violence. It can't change your heart. It won't heal your depression. The vaccine won't even change the death rate. It won't. The statistics will stay the same. One out of one of us will still die. But Jesus, he changes everything. You watch him die in agony on the cross, and of course it looks like death is the darkness that even he cannot dispel. And then you wait 3 days and you watch him rise from the dead, and you see there is light. There is light that means death's darkness won't last forever. It means there is the hope of a life with him beyond this dark world. There's a hope of a day when we will step out into the eternal sunshine of a world made new. A world restored to all it was meant to be. Do you feel the difference he makes? You say, well, hold on. If he's come to bring light, how come there's still so much darkness in our world? In my life, makes me feel he perhaps doesn't care very much. It makes me feel I'm not really that interested in him, not that bothered. Do you think those rescuers cared about those boys? How can you tell? Because they left the comfort of their homes and they crawled into those dark, muddy caves. Because that's what it took to save those boys. Does God care? Do you see how he has not sat back in the comfort of his heavenly home? He's entered our dark and muddy world. Born as a baby. He fled for his life. He lived as a refugee on the run. He was tired. He was hungry. He was misunderstood. He was mocked. He was betrayed. He was crucified. And on the cross, he entered the darkest of all darkness. Because that's how much he cares. Because that's how much he loves you. Because that's what it took to save us. He stepped into our darkness to lead us into light. And you say, well, okay, so he cares, I get that, but why? Why is it still so dark? And the answer is, because we're not yet out of the cave. We're not yet home. The light on their faces changed everything for those boys. It meant they were going home, but they weren't yet home. To get home, they had to put themselves into the hands of their rescuers. They had to follow them through the dark and muddy waters of the cave. And friend, after the year that we've had, you may be painfully aware that you are in the dark. Do you see what Christmas means? It means Jesus Christ, mighty God, has crawled into your cave and he's standing in front of you and he's holding out his light and he's calling you to follow him. And if you follow him, the journey will take you through a dark and muddy world. But you will never get lost again, because he is lighting up your way. And you need never be afraid again, because he is with you. And whatever happens, you will be able to keep going, Because you will know this darkness. It's not forever. Because he is leading you home. Home to the eternal sunshine of a world made new. Let's pray. And if this is a good prayer for you to pray, why don't you echo it in your heart? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Sorry that I've tried to live without you. And I realize I've ended up lost and in the dark. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that in your love you stepped into our darkness to rescue us and lead us home. And Lord Jesus, please, please, by your Spirit, help me to follow you, to walk in your light all the days of my life. Amen. Can I just say, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, do tell someone else, because we're not called to follow him alone. We need others.